Well, I desire an interest in your prayers today. The Lord will bless us. We need His presence, don't we? The reason I hope that we are here today is that we thirst. We thirst and we have a need in our hearts and in our lives for something that we are unable to quench and satisfy on our own. But thank God there is an answer for that. There is water that is available for us to drink that satisfies. And as we have different ones, including myself, we've quoted this verse, maybe several times over the last few months. That verse in John where Jesus said, it said that He cried out. He cried out from his heart with a sense of urgency, pleading maybe, wanting to notify all. And He cries out, yes, yet today, if any man thirst, if there's anyone that is thirsty and has a need in your heart and in your life, come. Come unto me, drink. Said, for as the Scripture says, he that believeth into Jesus Christ, the one that comes and turns away from their way and their agenda, and those things that just appeal to the temporal senses and we're willing to turn and believe into what Jesus Christ brought. It said that as the Scripture has said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living waters. I want to partake. I want to experience those waters. Jesus also said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, not just a scrape by, hope I can make it sort of life. Yeah, sometimes I feel like we as Christians, we get in this place and I think we look inward too much. We're relying too much on our own goodness. Well, that'd be depressing to me if that's what I was relying on, was my own goodness. My own righteousness, that'd be pretty depressing to me. But we can do that. We can begin looking inward and live our life and not experience the life and the joy that God has for us. He came to give us joy. He came to pay the price. Came to pay the price that we couldn't pay. He came to bring us not just life, but abundant life. Let us not allow ourselves to get in a rut where we feel like that the kind of life we're living is just, I'm just barely scraping by. It's just, I just hope I can make it. Well, you can't make it on your own, but you can by Jesus Christ. Let's believe in His blood. Let's believe in His power. Every single one of us can make it. He made provision for us. This morning, let's be an encouraged congregation of people. Let's be a congregation that are a people of victory, a people that live with expectation that maybe I'm going through a battle, but I serve a God who can give me victory and peace in the midst of the storm. Let's not let the enemy have any place in this congregation, in this building, in our lives, as we go home. God wants us to be a people of victory. Let's purpose to be so. Thank the Lord. We have been studying out of the 13th chapter of Matthew, and we've been reading about the sower. The sower that came and sowed seed, good seed. A sower that came and sowed seeds of truth. And we've talked about the seed that fell by the wayside. The seed that was sown and there was truth that was not understood. Have you ever been taught some truth that you didn't understand? Have you ever been taught truth that, well, you really didn't want it to be truth because it might represent some change in your life, and you didn't want that? And so he said, well, I don't really understand that. I'm not sure about that. And we allow the fowls of the air, we allow the buzzards, we allow the spirit of the enemy to come and steal away the truth that maybe we didn't understand. And we didn't protect the seeds of truth even if we didn't understand it. We've talked about the seed that fell by the wayside. We've talked about the seed that fell on stony ground. Good seed. It fell down and it was received with joy. And you say, yes, I'm going to adopt that truth in my life. Oh, but then we run into hardship. We run into those hard places, those fiery trials, and soon we allow the storms of life to just blow us over, and we move on to something else. We've talked about seeds that have been choked out by thorns. We've given our life and allowed this things of this life to come in and just choke and suffocate that which is good, that the things that have eternal value. Oh, there's so many things in the world that draw us, not all sin. Oh, there's lots of things in the world. They're not sin. But if we are not careful, we only have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We only have so much time. We only have so much mental capacity to process only so much. And if we are not careful, we will allow this thing and that thing and this non-sinful thing over here to fill up our little plate of life, where we have no space for eternal things. And it chokes out the good. We've talked about each of those. Maybe the Lord saved the best for last. This morning the message is on good ground. Let's read that verse, Matthew 13 and 8. It said, but other fell into good ground, and it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What do you think about when you think about good ground? Good ground. Well, I grew up in Oregon, still live most of my life in Oregon. And I grew up seeing soil that was dark, brown, rich soil. And when you tilled it up, you could reach down and grab a handful. And instead of just being like a clay snowball in your hand, it was red, rich, or brown, rich dirt, just run through your fingers and beautiful, beautiful soil. My dad-in-law was visiting us one time from Oklahoma and made friends with a farmer that we bought raw milk from, and he was a wheat farmer, and my dad-in-law was also a wheat farmer. And he said, how many bushels an acre you get out here? He said, oh, if I remember right, he said it was somewhere around 120. 120 so bushels of wheat an acre. Good ground. Good ground. We would have a garden at home, Kathy and I did, and well, my part in the garden was I tilled it. That was the first part that I did. And then I ate what came out of the garden and landed on the table. That was my two contributions, till and eat. And then everything in between was Well, not me. But I still have memories of tilling that dirt. And before anything was planted, before anything came up, I would like just looking at it because it was so pretty. It was just beautiful, just the dirt, just soil. It was just asking to have something planted in it. Good ground. Ground that is deep, cleared of weeds, cleared of those things that would hinder growth. Good ground is that ground that has been diligently attended to so that it stays good ground, keeps thorns at bay, and when the weeds start to grow up, you don't wait until you have something that looks like a tree. When it starts to grow and it's not supposed to be there, you get rid of it. It's not that good ground doesn't ever experience hard places. It's not that you don't ever find stones in good ground. It's not that you don't ever encounter thorns. It's not that it's just, oh, once it's good ground, it's this clear sailing from then on. No issues, no problem. Nothing that comes that you don't understand. No. Good ground, yes, you're going to see some things that come. You're going to encounter some thorns. You're going to encounter some stones. But it's ground that's attended by somebody who has an interest that's resolute in keeping it good ground. Folks, we can all do it. Every single one of us here today, you can have good ground. You can be defined as good ground. There does not have to be any exceptions today. All of us can be good ground. And he didn't say that it was good because it brought forth better than your neighbor. Why is it that that's what we do in life so often? We decide whether it's good or not depending on if it's better than so-and-so or sister so-and-so over here, don't we? Aren't we apt to do that with all kinds of things in life? Well, I have a bicycle, but Freddie's bicycle, man, he's got mags on his bicycle. Well, that was a cool thing back in the 80s. He has mags on his bicycle. He's got better tires than I do, so my bike must not be good. You got a bike. It's good. Not everybody has a bike. Well, I've got food, but I don't eat as well as so-and-so over there. My food must not be good. Oh, you have food. It's good. Why are we obsessed so often by comparing ourselves to everyone else around us to decide whether or not what we have is good? And then as human beings, this isn't everybody, but we have these tendencies. We have these tendencies to look at other people, and if they don't rise to the level that we think is spiritually appropriate, well, then we cut them off. We judge them, we're ready to cut them off, and then we turn right around and look at somebody else that seems like they have more than we have, and then we get depressed. Well, what kind of life is that? We turn on the one side and we're ready to cut people off, and then we turn around and see somebody that looks like they have more fruit than we do, and then we get dejected and depressed. That is human thinking. That is the enemy that works to try to get us to give up being good ground. That is not what the Lord said here. It's true that there may be different amounts of fruit that come out of our lives. Not all fruit is going to be the same in our eyes, but in the eyes of the Lord, if we're alive in our hearts and we are giving our all to, to be good ground to receive that which the Lord is giving to us. He counts that as good. Let's resist comparing ourselves among ourselves, measuring ourselves by ourselves. The scripture says it's not wise. And at one point, the Lord came with his disciples and he looked out there and there were these people and they were giving all this amount into the treasury. Remember that? And all of a sudden, here comes a woman and she put in two mites. Well, it didn't look like she had a whole lot to give. And the Lord said, you see that? You see that woman right over there? She has given more than all. Let's leave it up to the Lord to decide what's good and what's enough and what's not. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. Now listen to how the Lord described good ground in verse 23. He said, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Did you notice the three things that the Lord itemized here, which he described as good ground? Three things. He said, they hear, they understand, and they bear. Folks, to consistently hear, we have to be willing to come. You can't hear if you don't come. To be able to understand, you have to want to understand. You say, well, I don't understand it. I guess I just don't understand it. I guess I just go do something else. Do you want to understand it? If it's the Word of God, if it's truth, if the Holy Spirit brings us something in life and it's outside of where you are in your life, do you want to understand it? To understand, we must want to understand, and we must give our heart to it. And then it said that he beareth fruit. If we're going to bear fruit, we have to be willing to apply. We have to be willing to apply and act on what it is that we understand as truth. This passage right here reminds me of the wise man that the Lord spoke of. In fact, one of the children had a verse this morning that spoke of the wise man that did almost exactly these things. This passage I had looked at was in the 6th chapter of Luke. We don't need to turn there. But it said that this man, this wise man, he did three things too. It said that he came and he heard and he did. He acted. And the result? He had a house that stood. He had a house that when the storm passed, the house was still standing. The storm came, and you know what the storm included? The storm included bits of truth that he didn't understand. The storm came and it included some stony ground. It included some hardships. It included some fiery trials. It included some hot places that were uncomfortable. Included the unexpected. The storms also included thorns that tried to impose themselves upon this man that came and heard and did. And it said he dug deep and he built the house and it was founded on a rock and the storm came and beat vehemently on the house. We are going to have some storms that are strong in life. Doesn't mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you must not have had anything. It means that when the storm comes and there's things you don't understand, there's hard places that you face, maybe you find that, oh, I'm being distracted by a lot of things in life. These thorns are starting to choke out my life. It doesn't necessarily mean you're not saved anymore, you never had anything. That's the storm that comes. What are you going to do about it? Keep digging. Give yourself to continue to be good ground. I don't want a house that falls. Anybody here wants a house that falls down? I don't want to build a house out of, what was it? I want to build a house out of straw. I don't want to build a house out of sticks and then have the enemy come along and blow on my house and my house falls down. And then that's the end of my story and the end of my life. That's not how I want my life to end. And his house was blown over and he was no more. The end. I'm not interested in that. And we do have an enemy, a wolf, that is out to seek and to find and to kill and to steal and to destroy us. We don't have to give in to that. We have a Savior that came to give us all power, that when the thorns come, when the winds blow, when the storm comes along, we can be one of those people by the grace of God that when it passes over, our house is still standing. I want a house that stands today. And so the exhortation is, let's purpose to come. Purpose to come, to hear, and let's bear fruit. Come where? Where do we? What does that mean? Well, I'm supposed to come. Folks, we have got to deliberately make space for the Lord. You have to be intentional about it. If you think that you're just going to wait until everything just comes your way and everything just falls into order and all the pieces of your house, they just all fit together and it's strong and all you have to do is sit back, that isn't how it works. We have to be willing. This is our part. Our part is to come to where the Lord is. We have to give ourselves to quiet places where the Lord can speak to our hearts. Jesus, he was God's son. He had to go out to a mountain apart more than once to get away, to allow his spirit to be quiet, to allow the Lord to speak to his heart. Come. Give yourself to the word of the Lord. Come to where the word of the Lord is. Come to where the word of the Lord is preached. Inquire of God's spirit. We have to give this our hearts and our lives. Otherwise, it isn't going to work. Just coming to church on Sunday morning isn't going to work if that's all we do. Well, I'm a churchgoer. That's good. I want everybody to be a churchgoer. I want to see everybody here on Sunday. It's an encouragement to me. I hope it's an encouragement to you. There's 6 other days in the week. And the enemy works 24/7. And we are pulled and drawn to things 24/7. And one of these days, at a time unexpected, all is going to come to an immediate, abrupt halt. And it's going to be it. And the Lord's going to come back, and it's going to be our time, and we're going to stand before God. When we stand before God, I don't want that to be the first time that I come before God. I'm going to come before God that time whether I want to or not. I want to make the choice in this life today to make space in my life for Jesus Christ. Let's purpose to hear and to understand. I think sometimes the truth comes and there's bits and pieces, we hear it and we don't understand it very well, and we can give ourselves to saying, well, it's just so confusing to me. I just don't understand it. But we don't give ourselves to understand it. We don't want to understand it enough sometimes. And as I mentioned earlier, look, the Lord, He didn't come to bring us a plan where we just continue to live life like we've always lived it. The Lord, He is a change agent. He came to bring about change in our lives. He came to help us get rid of the things that don't work and make space for the things that do. And it's not always easy. Often it's not. And yet we'll hear things sometimes and we won't understand it, and we don't want to understand it because we start to sense that this represents change that I'm not comfortable with. And so we turn away from it and we can say, well, I really just kind of don't understand it. The enemy's fine with that. It's like he'll steal away. God's not going to force the good seed on you. He's not going to cram it down your throat. He's not going to pin you down and pry your mouth open and poke truth into you. He's going to present it. He's going to put it in your way. And it's up to us to decide if we are going to protect it. I may not understand it, but protect it. Give yourself to understanding it so that it doesn't disappear and go away. And we find ourselves way down the road and we say, well, I just don't see it that way. You probably don't, because you haven't let the Lord enlighten your eyes because you didn't want to be enlightened. And so you probably don't understand. That's how we can become deceived. All through the Scripture teaches us, be not deceived. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time. All through the Scripture, and we can become deceived. We reject truth. We don't want to accept it. We don't give ourselves to understanding it. And then we find ourselves down the road and we believe a lie. We believe something that isn't based on truth. And it's because we weren't willing to hear what was being said and achieve a level of understanding. Let's be willing today to purpose to understand. And lastly, folks, good ground is not just the absence of the bad. Good ground bears fruit. I think sometimes as conscientious Christians, we want to do everything right. But if we're not careful, we can get drawn almost back like we're under the old law again. And all of our time and all of our energy and our mind is focused so strongly on all of these do's and don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, do this, do this, do that, don't do that. And then every day we're looking at this list that just goes forever, and we're never satisfied. We don't have peace. We've never arrived, and yet we are still trying to find our sense of spiritual security by keeping all the bad things out. I don't do that in my life. Oh, I do that in this life. And in the meantime, we can forget that the reason that the Lord wants us to have good ground, the reason that He wants us to come and to hear and to understand, is so that we can bear fruit. That's the objective. It's so that good things can come from our lives. The Lord wants us to bear fruit and not be as the five foolish virgins. They were virgins. It sounds like they were uncontaminated from the sin of the world, but they lost their oil. They lost their vision. Perhaps they came and they gave themselves to trying to understand, but in the end, they weren't bearing fruit. They didn't have any oil when the Lord came back. Lord God in heaven, help me. Help me to get a vision of what You want for me in life. He doesn't want just a garden that's been tilled that looks beautiful and I can sit back like I did with our garden and look at it and think, wow, that really looks nice. I tilled that up and that dirt looks good and that's beautiful. Well, that's good. That's needful. But it's for a purpose of something more than that. It's so that in the end, you have something to eat, something that's good, something that can be put on the table. May God help us have a vision of that. Yes, we're going to encounter trouble in life. And yes, sometimes, against our best efforts, we try to have good ground and we turn around and there's that thorn that we thought we just pulled out. Don't be discouraged when that happens. Have you ever used a post hole digger? Has anybody here used a manual post hole digger? All right. Okay, so what happens is, especially around here with this dirt, you pull the dirt out and you try to dump it, and then about the time you throw the thing back down in the hole, a big old clump comes off that you just got pulled out, and now it's back in the hole again. It's like, I just pulled that out. So you go through it again, you pull it back out, and you might kick on the bottom of the post hole digger, and you're trying to scrape the stuff off, and you get tired of doing that, and you stick it back down in there. There goes another clump off the inside of the post hole digger right back in the hole. Don't give up. That can happen sometimes in our spiritual life. We think we got it out of there. We think we got the victory. We've pulled it out. We've made progress. And then it's like, there it is again. Don't give up. Keep digging. Keep going back. You'll learn something. You'll learn how to make it stay off. Because if it does that after a while, you get tired of it. And if you need that hole, you'll figure out ways to get that dirt to come off so you don't keep taking the same thing out twice and three times and four times. But don't give up, folks. We're going to see thorns. We're going to see hard places. There's going to be places we don't understand. But don't allow those things to get you off base. When you find where truth is, plant yourself where that truth is. That's where you want to be. You will find that you have a house that stands. When the storm passes by, there it is. A house, fruit that is being born. It's on the vine. You got something that grew, something that was good, a return, fruit of the Spirit. Not just for you, but for those that you come in contact with too. Let's be encouraged this morning to be a people that allow ourselves, by the grace of God, to be good ground. Once again, yes, the Lord is calling for us all, but there's just going to be a few people that are willing to come and to hear and understand and to bear fruit by the grace of God. There's just going to be a few. Will we be in that number? You can be. That's the good news this morning. Everybody that wants to be can be. Let's purpose to be of that number. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. My prayer is that the Lord will bless each one of you as we live life. Let's be courageous. Amen.